With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Adam is in the garden. God asked him a question. What is your position? Now, he didn't quite put it like that. He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? If today you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Colossians 3, 1 through 4 tells you where you are. Tells you five things about your position.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry brings us part one of the message entitled, Gaining a Christ-Centered Mind and a Christ-Filled Heart. We continue with our series, Christ is All and in All, Colossians in Biblical Perspective. You probably know the familiar saying, home is where the heart is. Those who are of this unbelieving world set their hearts on power, money, possessions, social status, personal pleasure, and other worldly things. But the people of God are called to set our hearts and minds not on earthly things, but on things that are above. Our thoughts and affections are to be ruled by our relationship with God and the glorious hope of spending an eternity of bliss and blessing with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you set your heart and mind on the things of God or on the things of this world? Harry, before we begin today's message, let me ask you, what does it mean when it says that a believer has a new position in Jesus Christ?
Well, it means he's alive. He was dead in his sins. Now he's alive in Jesus Christ. You got a new record. You got a new heart. You got a new perspective. You got a new family. You got a new home. You got a new hope. Everything's new. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. So you're alive now. You were dead. You're in a new position in Christ, forgiven, pardoned, declared righteous. You've been given a new heart. You've been given new eyes to see, ears to hear, all those things. In fact, what we'll do in this study in these next couple of days, Tom, is we're going to draw out of Colossians five biblical truths that are emphasized to the Christians at Colossians of what it means to be in Christ and Christ in you.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're focusing on verses 1 through 4. Here again is Harry Reeder with part 1 of the message, Gaining a Christ-Centered Mind and a Christ-Filled Heart.
Colossians 3, 1 through 4. The book of Colossians is a great book. Great memory verses in it, like Colossians 1:18, that Christ might be preeminent in your life. Colossians 3:11, Christ is all and in all. The book is full of passages of scripture that are rich, but I do not know of any richer than these four verses in this very rich book. If you would, look with me in Colossians 3. Look in verses 1 through 4 with me. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may this word be preached to you. In September of 1999, I had the opportunity to come to Birmingham to meet with a committee of people from Briarwood about possibility of whether the Lord would lead me here or not, and whether the Lord would lead the congregation to call me here. I was staying in the home of a family in the church, and in the quiet of the evening, after all of the hubbub and discussion had finished for that day, the host and hostess said, there's somebody we want you to meet. And so we walked across the backyard and through a little patch of woods and came into a house of a fellow who, interestingly enough, was on television. Now, he wasn't on television except a replication of interviews. Actually, he's with the Lord. He is above with the Savior in glory. I had the opportunity to meet him in the months before he went to be with the Lord. Many of you know him here. He was an elder here in this church. His name is Jim Collier. And if you got to know Jim, as I got to know him in those months, I was so grateful for being taken over there to sit down and talk with him. Jim had an interesting life that made a wonderful impact on many, many people. I don't know many of us that 5 years after we have gone on, somebody's going to go back and do a special on television to speak about what was our life and what was our life all about. Jim's life was very clearly about knowing and serving Jesus Christ and the joy of the glory of God. But Jim always had a question whenever you met him, particularly in those last months of his life. He always had a question he'd ask you. He asked it of me the first time I saw him. He asked it of me the last time I saw him. He would ask it of many people, and I'm going to ask it of you as I get to the end of the sermon. I'll ask you that question. This is an interesting text of Scripture. This text of Scripture really is one of those texts that is kind of like the high water mark of Scripture. This is, you know, you can pass through this passage or you can make it a tent peg for your life. You can make it a stake for your life. You can make it a pivotal point in your life. I believe it is an absolute pivotal point because it really gets to the heart, not of just worship that we sung about, but the heart of life itself. Look with me in the text and just kind of walk through it with me if you would. I just want to call your attention to a couple of things in the text. First of all, in this text, he proposes what is the position of a believer. By the way, in verse 1, where it says, notice it says, if then you have been raised with Christ. Actually, that passage, that word if, can also be translated, and it may be in some of your translations, since you have been raised with Christ. In other words, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, he wants you to know what is your position. 2 weeks ago, I was in a plane and flew over to Eastern North Carolina, and on the way back, we were being handed off from air control station to air. It was a private plane, and we were handed off from air control station to air control station, and air controllers would come on. And all of a sudden, one came over, and I happened to have the headsets on. I'm not so sure it was great to have the headsets on, because the air controller says, I'm not picking up your transponder. What is your position? Now, that disturbed me. What disturbed me more was the answer of our pilot. I don't know. We were hoping you would tell us. What is your position? Adam is in the garden. God asked him a question. What is your position? Now, he didn't quite put it like that. He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? If today you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Colossians 3, 1 through 4 tells you where you are. Tells you five things about your position. So this is Paul telling you where the transponder of redemption has placed you. Here's where he says. He says, number one, if you are in Christ, where are you? Number one, you are raised with Christ. Christ was risen from the grave. You are risen from the grave. Number two, if you are raised with Christ, then you are now with Christ at the right hand of God. Positionally, legally, positionally, you are in Christ. He's raised, you're raised. You have been raised in Him. If you're in Christ, He has been raised to the right hand of the Father. You are with Him. Now, if you knew the Old Testament, like Paul knew the Old Testament, and like many of the hearers would know the Old Testament, they've got a picture in their mind. Christ is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is the great high priest. And they had the picture in their mind of what would happen when a high priest once a day, in the Day of Atonement, once a year on Yom Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, would go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And when he would walk in, he would have the names of the 12 tribes upon the breastplate. So when Jesus comes into this world and goes to a cross and dies for our sins and is raised, and you are raised with him, then as he ascends into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, you are written on his breast. You have now ascended with him. If you're in Christ, you are raised with Christ. If you're in Christ, you're at the right hand of Christ. If you're in Christ, you have died with Christ. Romans 6 tells you how Christ has died. He has died to sin. He has died to sin. So if you are in Christ, you are raised with Christ, you're at the right hand of Christ, and you have died with Christ. Died with Christ to sin. Number four, the fourth thing he says about your position. When, notice, no if here, not if, when Christ appears. Harry, when will that be? October 27th, 2015. Well, that's one day you can probably be assured it won't be. No man knows the hour or time, but we know he's coming. When he comes, you appear with him. You appear with him as you are raised up to be with him if you're in Christ. And then number five, you will be with him forever in glory. A forever life in Christ. And that's your position. If you're a believer today, you've been raised with Christ, you are positionally at the right hand of Christ, you have died with Christ, that is, you are dead to sin, you will be with him when he appears, and you will be with him forever. That's your position. Now, the text doesn't stop there. It also says, what is your prospect? Your prospect is a forever, your promise is this, that there is, one of my favorite hymns, there is victory in Jesus. In Jesus Christ, you have victory. In this world, as a believer, you're a soldier of Christ, and you've got battle after battle after battle that you will fight. But it's an interesting dynamic as Christians. As we go through the battles of living for Christ with spiritual warfare in this world, striving to seek to claim men and women with the gospel of Christ, as we live here and do that, then here's the one thing we know. We already have the victory. We're not fighting the battles to see who wins the war. We're fighting the battles because he has already won the victory. That's your prospect. Forever in Christ. Victory in Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing the text tells you. It tells you what your perspective is. It says that this is your mindset. Look with me if you would. This is a key text. Look in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. He says, here is your perspective, your mindset. Your mindset, and he gives it in a positive, and then he gives it in a negative. Here's the positive. Set your mind on the things above. What's the mindset? What's the perspective? He says, here's your perspective. Positively, set your mind on the things above. Then he says, in the negative, don't set your mind on the things below. So he's given you your position, he's given you your prospect, he's given you a perspective, your mind set on the things above, not set on the things below. Fourthly, he's given you your priority in life. Seek the things that are above. Go back to verse 1. Seek the things above. If you've been raised with Christ, do what? Seek the things that are above. Not just love the things that are above, not just set your mind on the things that are above, but with your heart, seek now, while you're here on earth, the things that are above. And then number 5, he says, this is your passion. This is your passion. Look with me in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, down to verse 3. For you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life. appears. When Christ, who is your life, appears. As I was watching that television program, and Jim has had the opportunity to share again what Jesus Christ means to him 5 years after he has gone to be with the Lord, reaching hundreds of thousands of people. I know the reason. It wasn't because of the size of Jim's house he got that opportunity. It wasn't because of his vocation that he got that opportunity. It was because of his passion that 5 years later, he got an opportunity to speak to thousands of people again. Your passion, if Christ is your Savior, your Lord, you not only have the prospect of victory, the call of setting a perspective that is heavenly and not earthly, that is godly and not worldly. You not only have the call that you match your heart and your mind, and with your heart you seek what your mind is set on. You also have the real crucial point of the issue. What is your passion? Christ is your life. What did Paul say? Paul's not just saying something that doesn't mean anything to him. As he writes from prison facing death, what does he tell the Philippians? For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. If your life is about the things on this earth, you can't say at the end of it, death is gain, because you're about to step out of everything you've lived for. But if on earth, Christ and the things of heaven have been your heart and your life, then death is gain, because Christ has been your life. We don't have a lot of time to do this, so I just want to enumerate some things that in this text, as I was reading, I said, you know, what are some things that are just embedded into this text that you don't want to miss? They deserve, actually, every one of these deserve their own treatment, but I wouldn't want you to walk away from this text without seeing. Note some things that are in this text very clearly. The first one is this, that your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is now sovereign and in absolute authority. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, where is Jesus right now? Where is Jesus right now, according to this text? Where is he? He's at what? Right hand of the Father. What is the right hand? The place of authority. The place of power. The place of sovereignty. The other day let me just go back. I use it personally in my life. After I became a Christian in 1970, I had a guy come up to me and said, well, I understand you're a Christian. I said, I trusted Christ. And he said, I'll never forget what he said to me. He says, well, let me ask you, have you made Jesus Lord yet? Now, I know what he meant by that. He meant submitting to the claims and commandments of Christ as well as receiving the benefits of Christ. He meant bowing to the crown of Christ while receiving the benefits of the cross. I understand what he meant, but it was an unfortunate use of language, because I would really like to use it to clarify something. You never make Jesus Lord. He is the Lord. You may rebel against his lordship. You may rebel against his sovereignty. You may deny it. You may turn away from it, but you and I don't make him Lord. He is the Lord. I am still growing in my Christian life, painfully at times, discouraging at times, as I move forward and back up. Sometimes it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps backwards, and I have to confess to you, sometimes it's 2 steps forward and 5 steps backwards. But I know that one of the experience of learning about the security of his salvation and the joy of his lordship, that process is still at work, but I'm not making him Lord. He is Lord. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is ruling and reigning until he subdues all enemies. Let me give you a second thing from the text, just not to miss. The key truth about Christianity is this. You know, sometimes we get caught up in various things about the gospel. We say, well, you're born again. Praise the Lord. We're born again. Or justified. We are declared innocent. Great truth. Or I'm adopted. I'm now a son and a daughter and God is my father. And we get excited about adoption. We get excited about regeneration. We get excited about justification. We're excited about the prospect of glorification. But when the Bible wants to put things in a nutshell about what it means to be a Christian, here's what it is. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. That's the crux of the matter. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. The other day I was talking with a fella, and we were talking on the phone. He said, "Hey, I want to ask you something." I said, "Sure." He said, "Now, is this being recorded?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You got a recorder running?" I said, "No." "You asked me if it's being recorded." "Sure, it's being recorded. In heaven. Every idle word a man will give an account for that he speaks." We're not doing something over here and we're going to get by God on this thing. The Lord is there. In fact, I said, "Let me explain something to you. Not only is this conversation now being recorded, this is a three-way conversation. You're a professing believer. I'm a professing believer. That means Jesus is in you and Jesus in me. So while you and I are talking, he's here. He's listening." Boy, that had a drastic effect upon the next part of our conversation. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. You have this personal relationship with him, the Lord and Sovereign of glory. The third thing is, for the Christian, the best is yet to come. My mindset is on heaven. My heart is seeking the things of heaven. And when Jesus appears, I will be with him. And the best is yet to come for believers. The fourth thing I want you to see in the text is that when you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Now notice this. Christ has not only given you eternal life. Christ has not only given you an eternal life. Christ has not only given you a new life. Christ is your life. Christ is your life, and that's what your whole life now, if you're a Christian, is making you more like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. That is a fantastic journey that we are on. I've shared this, I think, one other time, if I can share it again. There's a place that I greatly love and deeply enjoy being at. It's up in the corner of, just a little spot where some friends live, up in the corner of Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia. It's right tucked away in that corner. And riding through there, you can come through there, and there's a guy that's there that makes horses. He carves horses. He carves them, I think it's either ash or oak, I'm not sure which. There, I tell you, it looks like the horses are about to move. He's got them where they're on their hind legs and pawing in the air. He's got them running. He's got them with riders. And you look at them and they are just absolutely astounding, astonishing. They just capture you when you look at it. Ask one time, "How is it you're able to do this? How are you able to bring something so vivid, so alive?" This, in the eyes of the world, very uneducated man, but who had quite an industry going, said, "Oh, it's pretty simple." He said, "I just get me a block of wood, and then I cut out everything that ain't horse." Guys, that's what I'm praying for you. If you know Jesus, you leave here in his hands. I'm praying it for all of us. I'm praying it for me. God in his grace and mercy, his patience and kindness, his love from the cross will take us a block of wood and cut out everything that ain't Jesus. Just cut out everything. That's not him. Let me give you a fifth thing in the text that I think is pretty crucial. The life that you now have, Christ is your life. That life is an informed life. You've got a mindset. And it's an inflamed life. You're on fire. It's an informed life. It's a life that has its mind set on the things above. It's an inflamed life because you have a heart that seeks the things above. John Calvin, I think the greatest theologian that has ever lived, had a shield. It's an interesting shield. The shield of John Calvin are two hands extended like an open cup. And in the hands is a heart. And the heart has flames coming up from it. When asked to explain the design of it, it was simply stated, "I'm in the hands of the living God. What other place could I be? In His hands is my heart. And any heart that is in His hands ought to be a flame for Him."
The life of the believer is hidden with Jesus Christ in God. We must therefore live every day in the reality of our new life in our resurrected Lord and Savior. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Gaining a Christ-Centered Mind and a Christ-Filled Heart, or simply ask for message number 9360. Again, that's message number 9360. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, which includes shipping and handling, when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. In Perspective is an extension of the Briarwood Pulpit and the teaching ministry of Pastor Harry Reeder. For more information about Briarwood, or to review the Christian resources available to you and your family from Briarwood, visit us at briarwood.org. Another great way to stay in touch is by downloading the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. With this app, you'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you enjoy the daily teaching of In Perspective, may we encourage you to subscribe to In Perspective. It's easy. On your smartphone or your tablet, go to your iTunes icon. Type in Perspective with Harry Reeder. Each and every weekday, automatically will be downloaded to your device a new edition of Harry's 30-minute Bible teaching program, In Perspective. It's yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.